Tom, welcome back to the show. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, John Williams. How are you?
Tom Gimbel's the founder and CEO at LaSalle Network. I'm fine, but I have perpetually stuck to my hand a cup of coffee. I would be the guy walking around the office always with a cup of coffee. I know you find that fascinating, Tom. Let's talk a
little bit. Is it iced coffee or hot?
I'm not even going to answer that. April is Stress Awareness Month. Tom, talk to me about workplace stress and what maybe employers or managers should know or think about that.
Well, I think there's two things. I think number one, managers and employers have stress too. And I think that everybody needs to have a little bit of empathy, both employees for leadership and leadership, obviously, for employees, that stress is there. But number two, I think it kind of goes back to something you and I talk about a lot, John, and that is good stress versus bad stress. And there is good stress. I mean, there are things, whether you're playing in a golf tournament with buddies or a tennis match, or your child has their first baseball game and you're nervous over that, you're stressed. Like, there is stress that you're supposed to have. Your body reacts to that. And to try to avert all forms of stress is actually a mistake.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. But what about the kind of stress that is debilitating? I mean, that's, I think, what we think about when we think about stress.
Well, I got it. So, listen, I'm human. I have anxiety. I have stress. One of my children had huge panic attacks and anxiety growing up. And so I'm not a therapist by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not saying this like I'm some Iron Man, because I'm not. But what I am saying is sometimes the perseverance to fight through stress to overcome things is the solution to the problem. To take away every task or every part of your job that gives you stress is avoidance. It's not necessarily building you to be stronger. Yeah. So I think there is that aspect. But if you want to get into the direct minutia of things that give you stress, is that you need to be open and honest. And the first thing you need to do is be it with yourself. And that is to create almost like a Ben Franklin pros and cons list of what do you have in your life that gives you stress? What do you have at work that gives you stress? And to list out those things. And if there isn't, is it deadlines? Is it one-on-ones with your manager? Is it doing analytics in addition to your job, right? Is it actual tasks, or is it the intangible things that give you stress?
Sure, but this sort of tough love approach, I mean, it sounded like you were going to say muscle through it. I don't know how helpful that is to a lot of people.
Well, I don't think it's tough love as much of it is saying, you know, it's kind of like the Instagram world we live in, where everybody wants to take 17 pictures until they find the perfect one.
Yeah.
Or they want to share every experience. And then people think on the reverse end that that's real life. It's not. And we all know that. And the adults in the room say that. And it, the same thing at work is, you know, I'm stressed because I have this presentation to do today. And the answer is, you should be stressed.
Yeah.
It's a big presentation. Like, that's different. That's different. It happens once a quarter and you have it, and you should be stressed.
I understand that, but I want you to acknowledge, and I know you do, that there are some things that are above and beyond that, that are mental health disorders, or maybe disorder is a strong word, but you know what I'm talking about. Some things can't be just analyzed away. Some people truly need help to be functional.
Yeah, they absolutely do, and I totally agree with that. But it does come down to, you got to look in the mirror and you got to be able to list out what causes you those issues. If you're not going to, we have a situation at work with an employee and you know, my head of HR and I were talking and she said to me, like, it sucks when you care more about somebody's well-being than they do. And what she meant, because we talked further about that, was, are you willing to put down a list of what's causing you the problems?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to go see a therapist and make an appointment with a therapist to talk about the problems, right? Are you willing to put in some time to work on the things you're really good at, if we take away some of the items that are giving you stress, to make sure that we still have enough work for you to do? Like, are you willing to invest in yourself?
Yeah, I get
and
that.
If you're not, And you got to be willing to do that, John. You just can't expect a manager who's got up 20 other people that they take care of and the company to bend over backwards because you're saying you. There's a lot of people also, John, that say they're debilitated. You know, there's a lot of people claiming unemployment that aren't looking for a job. There are a lot of people saying that their boss is bad when their boss isn't bad. Now, there's also the reverse. There's managers that don't like somebody and they treat them unfairly, and that's horrible too. But I mean, every month should be stress awareness month. No one should die of high blood pressure and a heart attack. Every month we should be concerned about it, not one month a year. And employees should also be willing to invest the time to figure out what they need to do to overcome it.
Yeah, well, that's, I think, really resonant. Own your own wellness. Tom Gimbel, the founder and CEO of LaSalle Network, he was talking about Stress Awareness Month, which Tom says should be every month. But he also stressed that you need to own your own mental health. You can't expect the company to do that. How about this text, Tom? Good afternoon, John. What a great topic. Thank you. I've been completely stressed out at work for the past 2 years. I used to have every Saturday off. Now I have to work 6 days a week because a scanner determines what I do every day. It's all about numbers. It's not about people anymore. I don't know if I can hold on for the next 542 days. I would love some tips to not be resentful. Tom, that sounds like one of these things that companies install now. They see how many hours you're actually logging in on business, and if you don't get to 40, then you got to work Saturday, huh?
Well, I haven't heard too much about that from a standpoint for salaried workers, but if that's the case,
There goes Tom. Sometimes the phone just drops off, and it's very stressful here. I'm going to move on to the next topic as we reconnect him, and that is this new workplace trend. Resenteeism has employees working less hard because they hate their jobs. Similar to the viral sensation of quiet quitting, the latest career trend, resenteeism, captures workers' tendency toward low productivity because they're resentful of the place they work. I think Tom is back on line one now. So, Tom,
I'm back, Jeff.
Okay, a quick response to that person who's stressed out, and then I want to talk to you about people who are underperforming because they resent their work. What are your thoughts there?
Number one, I think if it's a 40-hour work week, then work the 40 Monday through Friday, and that should be the case. You should have that expectation with your boss of what's expected and how you're compensated on that. And number two, unemployment's still at a historic low. If you've been that stressed for 2 years, and you've been stable in your career, it may be time. That may be bad stress.
Here's the deal. This person has a year and a half before it sounds like they retire or are moving on. So they want to hang in there. I'm no psychologist, and I don't employ anybody. But don't you think, Tom, generally a candid conversation with your employer is sometimes the thing that's missing?
Yeah, I do. I think there's two sides to every, there's three sides to every story, your mind and the truth. And I think that to be able to have that relationship with your employer and to do that. And I think, listen, are there bad employers? Absolutely. Are there abusive spouses? Absolutely. Are there terrible friends? Yes, there are. Like, to think that everything's going to be perfect and every manager is going to be fantastic and every employee is unrealistic. The question is, are you going to be to confront when there's a real problem and talk about it, number one. Number two, the key is to have a solution for the problem. And number three, and this is really important, is if you're going to criticize how you're being managed or what's expected, you need to make sure you've got your ducks in a row on the work product you produce. Because if you're subpar on that, that's the defense mechanism always of the manager or the employer is. If you were doing your job at a better level, you wouldn't have to work so much.
I want to talk about this other topic too, but we're out of time today. So let's pick it up here next week. Sound good enough?
Happy to do that. Enjoy this warm weather, John, and stay healthy.
That's our friend Tom Gimbel, the founder and CEO at LaSalle Network. We had a note from a listener the other day saying, who was that guy you had on who helps lower technology bills? His name was Harvey Wells. He is the founder of a business called Lower Tech Bills, And the website is lowertechbills.com. Harvey's a longtime broadcast pro in town who's no longer in the broadcast business.
I don't know about pro, but...
Yeah, you are. You are. You were. You always will be.
Well,
but
thank you.
Now,
thank
this
you.
Is your hobby that's turning into your next career.
Yeah, pretty much. And I will say, I was on about 3 months ago with you, and I appreciate it then, and I appreciate it now. Wintrust is getting great bang for their buck by being a sponsor here, because... The amount of people that it resonated with when I was on last time was pretty amazing. You have some great listeners.
We have some good guests. What is it that you do?
Well, what I do is I talk to people about three major technological things. That is, number one, their cell phones. Number two, their TV streaming or their cable. And number three, their internet. And what I do is I give them a questionnaire. And after they answer a bunch of questions, it's not a test, there's no grades, I then look at their bills and then I determine whether I can save them money or not. Now, if I can't save them money, there's no fee whatsoever. It's just, hey, you're doing a great job, keep doing what you're doing. But I find in about 80% of the cases, I can save them money.
Where do you find people are paying more than they should?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I always said this is kind of like snowflakes. Everyone is different. Every single person has a different issue. Some people are overpaying for cellular. Some people are overpaying for internet. And some people are overpaying for TV. A lot of times they're bundled together, too. And you have to kind of look at unbundling. A lot of people think if you bundle, you're going to get a better deal. And that is the case sometimes, but not all the time.
That is within, I presume, a company's platform. If I get internet service and cell service from a AT&T or whomever, mm-hmm. It is a bona fide discount if you bundle within that corporate culture, right?
It is, but oftentimes there are actually better deals out there if you unbundle and do certain things.
Cherry pick.
Exactly correct.
And I guess you need to know exactly what you want or need.
I'm in stores once a week. People know me by name now in stores.
Why?
Mean, it's amazing.
What are you doing in the stores?
I have to constantly update my knowledge of pricing and of deals. There are perks all the time that are being offered by the various cellular and cable companies. There are different prices almost every week. And the funny thing is I've had several people say, why don't you just get a job here? Because I'm there so often.
Would you say, and I know you've sort of answered this, but is there a category in which people tend to be overspending, cellular, cable, internet, or the streaming platforms?
Well, if I had to pick one, I would say TV is a tough one because there's a lot of hidden costs in TV. And I'm agnostic, by the way, as to which company to choose, whether it's a cable company, a streaming company, or whether it's something that there are free things out there. I'm totally agnostic. And it's totally up to the questionnaire that I get and the answers back that allows me to make that determination. But what I found is that no matter what company, you have to look very carefully at your bill. And a lot of people don't. They just pay the bill every month. That's how I got into this.
Well,
John.
But if it's your telephone bill, your internet bill, your cellular bill, there's fees, there's taxes, mm-hmm. there's surcharges, mm-hmm. and being aware of them doesn't mean you can get rid of them.
No, but it allows you to be knowledgeable to be able to negotiate, and sometimes you can actually go into the store or talk to somebody and say, look, I know you can't give me a better deal necessarily, but if there is a contract to be had, if I can stay for another year, can I get a better discount for that? A lot of times what happens too is companies will raise their rates without even you knowing about it. And then it's up to you, or up to me in my case, to go into the store and get back to them and say, look, you're overcharging. Let's go back to where we were last
month. You recommend that I go to the Comcast brick-and-mortar location or the AT&T brick-and-mortar
totally.
Location? Totally. Rather than on a telephone?
100%. You should do it in-store.
And they can generally resolve these things in-store?
Absolutely. And the reason is because chances are you're going to wait on hold for a very long time.
If you even get a human being.
Good luck there. And also, a lot of times I found a lot of my clients tend to be over 60. And some of them are hearing impaired, and some of them just don't want to spend time on the phone, and they have trouble with accents because a lot of times some of these phone companies outsource to the Philippines or India or wherever, and it's tough sometimes for them to understand. So it's much better to go into the store.
Hmm. 630 just texted in to say, King John, I got my Xfinity bill yesterday, and it was $174 a month, less than my previous tech bill, thanks to Harvey Wells' advice.
Thank you, whoever that was.
It's somebody at 630, and Harvey Wells is the guy in our studio right now. He's the founder of Lower Tech Bills. LowerTechBills.com is the website. So what are the, I got the questionnaire that you ask people to fill out.
And it's not a test, but some of the questions are hard to answer.
What company do you use for cellular services? Answer, I don't know. Do you get that sometimes?
I do.
How many total cell phones are on your bill? You know, it's funny because I don't remember if my son fell off of our bill or not.
And that's another hidden thing there, because you could have a smartwatch, or you could have a tablet, or you can have something that is not even a phone that has a data line, and I count those as well.
If you have other cellular devices, how many and what? What is or are the make and model of your current phones? Why would that matter?
Because there's a difference between Android people and Apple people, and there is also a difference between people that have an older model and a person that has a newer model. Some people would like a new phone, and there are perks out there. If you switch to a different provider, they will include a new phone.
Do you find that it might be advantageous to switch from an Android to an iOS to an Apple phone, or vice versa?
Very rarely. So
pick your lane. So if you're happy with your Apple, keep your Apple. If you like your Android,
Use that A word again, agnostic. It doesn't matter to me, but it matters to you. People are very loyal.
If you lease your phones, how much per month for each? Answer, I don't know.
And the reason why I ask that question is there are companies, if you switch, that will pay your lease off. Let's say you've got a phone that you've only owned for a year and you're paying $30 a month and you still have 20 more payments on it. There are companies out there that will literally pay up to $800 for a lease. It's like an $800
deal. You're
talking
about a smartphone.
I'm talking about an Apple or an Android, yes.
Does anybody have a landline phone still?
Yes, and that's where I have to play psychiatrist or psychologist in that case. A lot of people are very concerned about getting rid of their landline, and they don't know why. And I've had about three clients in the last 2 weeks finally come to me and say, I did it. I got rid of my landline.
Well, why get rid of your landline?
Because there are companies that have copper lines, the old-fashioned copper. They're charging more and more every month. So you can be paying $120 to $150 a month for that landline. And most people, all they get are spam calls on them now. Unless you have a security system that is hooked up to your landline, or you have, let's say, a pacemaker or something like that, I recommend you get rid of a landline.
Wow. But I thought the advantage of those was if the power goes out and you can't charge your phone, a landline is your lifeline.
A lot of landlines are hooked up to the internet now. And
really?
Yes. And they're called VoIP, Voice over Internet Protocol. And if you lose your power, you will lose your landline. Not all of them. But
I'm surprised, that I could untangle my landline bill from my overall phone bill, my overall cable bill, however it is that I'm getting landline service.
You can
do that?
Yes.
And did you say that can be a significant charge?
It can, or for example, and again, being agnostic, but Comcast only charges $30 a month for a landline. So that's a very good deal.
That is, because that's less than $150, but that still sounds like a lot to me for something I don't even have hooked up right now.
Most people... it's all a matter of I've had the same phone number for 40 years and I can't leave it. It's baggage, basically.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the platforms like Netflix and YouTube and all of those things. And what is your advice for how I these are two things. Netflix is just an app and you can get movies and so forth.
Right.
But should I, you can answer this question after the break, but should I get my TV from the internet, or should I get it from a cable? Should I be watching via Hulu or YouTube, or should I just go with the old-fashioned cable?
Fantastic question. I'll wait till the break to answer if you want me to.
He's a broadcast pro. Speaking of broadcast pros... Steve Grzanich has a business update.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. World Business Chicago has a new CEO. Phil Clement has been hired for the job. World Business Chicago promotes the city as a place to do business with the goal of creating economic development and job growth. Clement previously served as chief marketing officer at Johnson Controls and insurer Aon. World Business Chicago has 65 employees and a budget of nearly $11 million. It's funded mostly by corporate partners. Clement has been praised for his ability to build partnerships. Wintrust Financial is expanding into Western Michigan with the purchase of Macatawa Bank for $510 million. The bank is headquartered in Holland and operates 26 branches in three southwest Michigan counties. Macatawa is approximately $2.7 billion in assets, $2.4 billion in deposits, and $1.3 billion in loans. Wintrust CEO says Macatawa provides an ideal platform to expand into Western Michigan. Wintrust operates more than 170 locations in the Chicago area, southern Wisconsin, and part of Florida. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of Food Time. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And you know how the president is announced before he gives the State of the Union speech?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States!
Yeah! This is not that. This is the state of snacking.
That's right, yes.
Which we will hear about after I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There has never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, the state of snacking?
It's a global study we've been running for the last 5 years, keeping our finger on the pulse on what consumers are looking for when it comes to snacks.
That is Nick Graham, the global head of insights and analytics for Chicago's very own Mondelez International, a big part of Chicago's food industry with about 1,000 people working in two factories and a world headquarters.
So we have a factory in Chicago itself, which is where we make Ritz, some of our other baked snacks, and then out in Naperville, we have another factory. That's where we make all of our Triscuit crackers.
So anyway, back to the survey on the state of snacking. It's the fifth annual, and Mondelez, which sells a lot of snacks from Oreos to Wheat Thins and much more, says a poll of more than 3,000 people around the world came up with this. 60% favor snacks over traditional meals, with a universal joy of chocolate.
We heard from consumers, you know, almost three-quarters of them saying a world without chocolate would be a world without joy. 65% of Americans say that if they had to choose, they'd rather give up social media for a month than give up chocolate. So there is something really extraordinary about chocolate.
He says nostalgia plays a role in what we snack on. 70% of the people surveyed say they buy products because of things that bring back fond memories, such as
dipping the Oreo into the milk with their parents.
But do not mess with my Oreos or Chips Ahoy or any other treat.
Consumers tell us that they would actually rather have a small portion of the real thing, if you like, rather than a bigger portion of a zero calorie, zero fat, zero sugar substitute.
Oh, and there's one other finding in the survey.
We had an increasing number of people saying that they are snack adventurers, interested in trying new snack collaborations, new snack flavors.
The state of snacking. On the food calendar, it's National Eggs Benedict Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and Harvey Wells is here. His business helps lower your tech bills. His business is called Lower Tech Bills. And you can click on lowertechbills.com and fill out a form, and he'll help you lower your tech bills. I think I've got that message across.
Thank you.
Just a few minutes.
Because if
left.
You wouldn't, I would.
What's your advice for how I should get TV into my house?
Well, again, not to get into the questionnaire too much, but it really, again, depends upon what you are interested in. And so, for example, if you want Netflix, if you're a streamer and you care about that stuff, my suggestion is, of course, you subscribe to it, but you watch the show that you want to watch at, because Netflix just raised their rate. The non-commercial version is now about $17 a month. I always tell people, whether it's Hulu or Netflix or Prime or any of these, if you're done watching a particular show that you really want to see, drop the service for a few months until you find something else you want. It takes a little work to continually update those services, but every month that you're not watching that service, is you're just flushing money down the toilet.
What about YouTube as the way I'm going to watch traditional TV, including local channels?
Well, there's YouTube TV, which is a streaming service. Now we get a little deeper into the woods here, and I know there's not a lot of time, but very quickly, I'm going to be meeting with somebody right after the show today, and they're paying $186 a month for their TV and internet, and they're paying $103 a month for two cell phone bills. That's too expensive. But they're also subscribing to a streaming service that is duplicating their cable. So they're actually subscribing to two services that are giving them the exact same channels. So part of it is just looking at your bills and saying, wow, I'm actually paying for extra channels that I'm already getting in another package.
I think I'm doing that.
Well, it's and explaining. See, Hulu is a company that has one channel, and they also have something called Hulu Plus Live TV. It's very confusing to a lot of people. And Hulu Plus Live TV gives you like a bunch of channels that you'll get on cable. So in this instance, they're subscribing. They're paying $80 a month for Hulu Plus Live TV, and they're subscribing to a cable service.
Okay, I know what you just said. Some people's heads are now spinning around.
Right.
But that's the point. You understand it, and maybe they don't. Can I just read you a couple
sure.
of texts? 708 said, here's a sad lesson. I paid 10 years on a tablet. 10 years that wasn't being used, that was automatically being billed.
That is the way they get you, John.
Marilyn and Glenview. John, my wife likes Hallmark and the Pimple Doctor channels, and we like to get sports, especially playoffs, and even more so the NCAA playoffs. We've got cable because of the sports. Can Harvey help us?
Yes, there are ways to get to streaming services that are not just streaming. Cable can be manipulated too, where you can pay a certain amount one month and a certain amount another month. And again, when you fill out that form, I know exactly what you want.
The form is on your website.
Form is on my website.
Do you come to the person's house then?
I come to your home. And I will meet with you, and we go through that entire client assessment form, and we can do it on the phone, too. For example, I have a client up in Lake Geneva, and I'm doing it on the phone up there.
You can email Harvey at hmwellsradio@gmail.com.
hmwellsradio@gmail.com.
H-M-Wells, W-E-L-L-S, Wells, hmwellsradio.
Could never get radio out of my email, John.
It's in his blood.
It is.
@gmail.com, or just click on his website, lowertechbills.com.
Exactly.
Nice to see you again.
I would love to come back anytime.